Thank you. Thanks very much. This has been great. My name's Sparkplug Callahan. I want to wish us all good night. Safe home. Thank you. Good night. I wish you all safe home. Now it's all right to turn on your mobile phone. Don't fall in love with me, I'll only break your heart. No sooner have we met than it is time to part. It is time to part.
Lights come on and you all head off home in your motor cars or bicycles. We're off walking arm in arm in the moonlight, perhaps holding hands beneath the stars, pondering the magnificence of the cosmos and the intricacies of all the little dances that make it what it is. You head off home and I'll load up the van. The van and I head off down the road, away from the bright lights and all the glamour, up into the hills, careering round corkscrew bends, doing my damnedest to stay out of the ditches, and the summer growth spreading onto the road, creeping canopies keeping out the moon. You never know who you'll meet in a night like this. Articulated lorries, inarticulate on these roads. And drunk farmers snooze round corners, dreaming of subsidies. And boy racers with excited passengers, too happily distracted to even contemplate self-harming tonight. I swerve for foxes, I dodge baby badgers, I wish them all well. Bovine tuberculosis is none of my business. And outside the chapel in Tully Glen, there's a drunk man peeing up against the wall. I pull up at the broken petrol pumps, rusty remnants of the wee garage I inherited from Uncle George. I swing round the back to the barn. I unload the van. In the northern skies, the aurora borealis. Across the fields, a breeze tugs in a lace curtain. In the captain's cabin, Ruby lies sleeping. It's unlikely that she's dreaming of me. And the breeze breathes in the room. On the wall there's a photograph of the captain on the deck of a tugboat.
I had a wee daughter, Ruby. I hardly ever saw her. Doesn't mean I never loved her. I never got on with her mother. I married her and all, but I never liked her, nor she never liked me. So I done her a favour and I left her. I married to sea a lifetime ago. I bought a wee boat of my own. This is my home. This is where I belong.
Then one morning he got out of bed, and without warning he dropped dead. They buried him in Cushendall, the place he was born. He couldn't take the boat with him, so he left it behind. He left it to Ruby, along with some money. And when the paperwork was done, she bought an acre of land in Donegal. Then she went to Larne. A crane took the boat out of the water, swung her round and dropped her down on a low loader. Then they drove her down the motorway across the border, where the roads get narrower and narrower. Big adventure. And when they got there, another crane lifted the boat from the bed of the low loader, swung her round and laid her down in the heart of Ruby's Acre. Now here she sits, paint bright in the moonlight, surrounded by the scent of wildflowers. Ruby has an ocean that the whole world's the ocean. Now she lives in a boat in the middle of a meadow in Donegal. Ruby lies sleeping, and the scent of honeysuckle slips into her dreams. Seldom anyone's ever asked to leave Conley's pub in Tully Glen, but your man with the baseball hat was asking too many questions. You'd swear he was a guard. He wasn't a guard. He'd retired 6 months previously, on a full pension, before the internal investigation began. He was still a relatively young man, so he decided to get into the lucrative private security sector. His time spent in Rossport County Mayo had given him the idea that perhaps there was a market for information that might discredit the reputations of local protesters, and scenarios yet to unfold. He would gather that information in anticipation of its usefulness. He would create a commodity. Hydraulic fracturing, fracking, that's where the money's at. Greed and resistance, the ingredients that would assure his success. And that's what had brought him to Manor Hamilton County Leitrim that night. He sat in his car, drinking from a nag and a gin, waiting for the meeting to end. And when it did, and they all came out, it was Ruby that grabbed his attention. She was a good-looking woman. He decided to follow her. He thought she was local. Imagine his confusion when she drove past Ballyshannon and kept going. Past Donegal Town and Balbuffet. And kept going. She was the reason he was in Tully Glen. He stands outside Conley's pub in the rain, smoking a cigarette, without a friend in the world.
Bollocks.
I wake up in the morning to the sound of raindrops in the tin roof. I'd love to stay in bed, but I said I'd do a favour for a neighbour. Crazy Horse Corcoran. He had to go to Dublin to put a man straight, and he asked me to officiate at a burial ceremony in his place. Charlie, Crazy Horse Corcoran, and his partner Peggy had opened up the first pet cemetery in Donegal. It all began when their granddaughter scraped a hedgehog off the road outside and brought it into the kitchen. Since then, many little creatures had been laid to rest in this field. First thing you notice when you swing in the gates is the fire engines, three of them, in various states of disintegration. Sheds of every shape, size and description, mostly built on a whim.
Shuggy, shuggy, shuggy. Shuggy, 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 shuggy.
Peggy, the woman of the house, is feeding the goats. A gang of local children gather around her. When she sees me, she waves.
I'm feeding the goats. Feeding the wee goats.
Together we walk into the burial field. Tiny tombstones all higgledy-piggledy. I see a girl I recognise, standing with a cardboard box beside a shallow grave. Mary Duffy's daughter, Africa. We Africa Duffy, named after Africa Bambaataa, the godfather of hip-hop. We all gather round and I'm just about to begin when a woman comes along and throws her arm around Africa's shoulder. We've never been introduced, but I know who she is. Her name's Ruby. She lives in a boat. It's a long time since anyone made me feel like this. I notice myself trying hard to impress. We're gathered here today to join with Africa as she lays her beloved wee red hen Rihanna to rest. Crazy Horse can't be here. He asked me to speak instead and play a wee tune. This is something I wrote last night especially. It's called Requiem for a Rhode Island Red. She was only a hen. One hen among many hens. It wasn't in her nature to fly. She wasn't that kind of bird. She had no interest in the sky. Everything she wanted or needed, she found down around her feet. She was only a hen. Well, I'm not a religious man, but on occasions such as this, it does no harm to consider all the possibilities. And I'd like to imagine that maybe tomorrow morning, Jesus or Jehovah, or Muhammad or Buddha, or Krishna, or the great cosmic mother might sit down at a table and enjoy one of Rihanna's eggs for breakfast. Well, not Krishna. Krishna doesn't eat eggs. I'm sure Jesus wouldn't say no to a boiled egg. Africa gently dropped the box into the hole, and we all had a go at shoveling some dirt in on top of it. I give a tenner to Africa towards a new hen, and I walk over to another corner of the field. Last time I was here was late spring. I dug a hole 6 feet deep. Crazy Horse came along with a mug of tea, and together we stood looking down into the damp grave, both of us knowing that the day would soon come when someone will dig a hole for us. The nearest crematorium's Belfast, too far for a dead man. A while back, Crazy Horse and Peggy decided that there was no good reason to limit the burials to little animals. There are many things that people need to lay to rest. We finished the tea, I handed Crazy Horse the mug, and I grabbed the handles of the wheelbarrow. I tipped her up and watched the television slide into the hole. Standing here now all these months later at the funeral of a hen, I'm not afraid to admit there's some programs I still miss, but life's too short to dream it all away into a magic box. Then a voice.
Though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion.
Ruby. Hazel eyes, ruby lips, pencil skirt. I remind myself to breathe.
You spoke lovely at the ceremony. My name's Ruby. We're all going back to my place for some lemonade. Would you like to come along?
On the way out of the cemetery, I see old Johnny Slope, stooped, digging a small hole with a garden trowel.
Well, Johnny, that's not a bad day for digging holes.
He held up a small tin box.
My father's medal from the War of Independence, the Tan War. I don't want the Germans to get it.
A whole heap of wee girls is heading back to Ruby's place for lemonade. She asks, can I take some in my motor, because her motor's full. No bother, not a problem. I'm cool. Straight into the front seat's a wee boy called Tommy. He's been forced to go along with his sister. He appreciates the male company and proceeds to inform me that in 25 years' time, the world will be run by robots. I haven't the heart to tell him it's already happened. Ruby's place is hard to find, so she says it's best if I follow behind. She drives a four-wheel drive. Nothing flash, 1995. I follow in the Morris Minor that I've just repaired for a neighbour, preparing her for vintage day tomorrow. Passing through Tully Glen, I spot Pelly Kelly, sitting on the window ledge of the post office with a scratch card. His face lights up when he sees me. He tries to wave me down. I pretend I don't see him. Drive on. I know he's looking for a lift into town. I haven't the time. Further out the road, there's a car stuck up my ass. I pull over and let him pass. Some fool in a baseball cap driving a Passat. For a while, it looks like he's following Ruby too. She pulls into a field. He keeps going. I fix my hair in the rearview mirror. Get a dirty look from Tommy. Damned for my vanity by a 10-year-old. I pull into the field. The kids jump out and run up the lane. I sit in the car, soaking it all in. A boat in the middle of a meadow, surrounded by a white picket fence and young apple trees. Window boxes all green and yellow, with occasional red splashes. I mosey on down the lane and up the gangplank, trying not to look out of my depth. Ruby hands me a lemonade. Sitting in the sunshine on the deck of a boat in the middle of a field in Donegal. Ruby made lemonade, the children played in the shade, little birds serenade us all. She's full of heart, she's full of soul. She tells me she makes art down in the cargo hold, and she lives off that. She don't get no dole, and I want to buy it all. We get engrossed in conversations regarding the latest eco-inventions for environmentally friendly sewage systems and septic tanks. Meanwhile, coming down the road at 25 miles an hour in a grey Ferguson TE20 tractor, Peggy, dressed up all Victorian, petticoats exposed. She's trying on her costume for vintage day tomorrow, seeing if she can still drive a tractor. She swings in the gate, yanks on the handbrake, and jumps off the tractor, waving her arms like windmills. She runs up the gangplank.
Did you save me any lemonade? I brought you a wee bag of potatoes for your dinner. Come on over, girls. I've a bag of strawberries for yous. Oh, too busy having fun. Come here, Africa. Take you them strawberries over to the girls. Good girl. It's great to see them enjoying themselves in their holidays. There's still a lot of fun to be had swinging on an owl gate yet. Mind you, it breaks my heart to see them like that, so young and innocent, when you know the world that's waiting for them, and them sold into slavery by the government.
There are other places I should be, other things I should be doing, but there's no better place I could be, sitting on the deck of a boat in the middle of a meadow, sipping lemonade, with an old-school anarchist matriarch and a rockabilly conceptual artist. My kind of people. Then Ruby shows us some of her art.
Is it a radio? Oh, it's lovely. That's a lovely bit of red velvet on it. It's very... Does it work?
No, I took the valves out. It's a metaphor for the teachings of Buddha and postmodern society.
Amazing. Beautiful. I love the whole punky Hindu retro aesthetic of it. It's perfect. Is that the carburetor from an old Anglia? Profound. Magic. I love it. Whole Mediterranean vibe there mixed with the rural Ireland, mountainous, oceanic, Apache thing is really nice.
I think it's going to rain. I better go for I've washing in the line. Girls, you go on home now across the fields for your teas, quick before the rain starts. I'll see yous tomorrow. See yous tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. I'm standing in the wheelhouse watching the rain. And it rains. And it rains. Cats and dogs. It rains. And sheep grow soggy. And all the insects leg it. And the whole world stops to take shelter. Beneath the trees bone dry. It rains and it rains. And rain rolls off the hills. And the rivers fill and spill into the fields. And village streets go underwater, and the sea swells. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. Ruby's boat lifts and drifts among the treetops. We didn't get a chance to organise any animal rescue plan. All we have is a cat and a dog, a couple of hens, a scatter of spiders. But there's bound to be more survivors if only we could find them. It's hard without broadband. It's the end of civilization as we know it. A chance to start all over again. It's likely now that me and Ruby will make babies. And our children will have children. And we'll gather with our grandchildren round a campfire and tell them all the myths of the lost world. We'll tell them about Homer and Marge. And the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the spiders from Mars.
What are you thinking about?
Just wondering what would happen if it didn't stop raining.
Yeah, well, it stopped now. Let's go outside.
She's a wee bit younger than me. But it turns out we have plenty in common. Years spent in London. We talk about Camden and Brixton and Stoke Newington. Ah, but you should have been there in 77.
Nobody wants to mention. There shouldn't be punks on your pension. And all our drugs are on prescription. Old Johnny runs on television. And it came on the IPs. And it came on the IPs. Nostalgia is a drug for me. Keeps me warm inside. Let's go back in time. Keeps me warm inside. Cider and peroxide.
That's a lovely tattoo on your calf. She slowly unbuttons her fine blue lamb's wool cardigan and slips it off her shoulder to reveal an armful of tattoos, nautical and maritime, mesmeric mermaids and mesmerized mariners. On her shoulder there's an old boat surrounded by wildflowers, and at the foot of the gangplank there's a rockabilly rebel chick. There's a punky old blues man standing beside her. Further down, a football crest. Glasgow Rangers. What's the story with the Rangers tattoo?
When I was 6 years old, Daddy took me on a holiday. to Scotland on a ferry boat, up to Glasgow for a couple of days. First much of the season in Ibrox Stadium. Come on, you jerks. Derry's walls, no surrender. The sash my father wore. After that, we went to the park. Had a picnic and fed the dogs. It was just the two of us upstairs on the bus. Toffee apples and candy floss. The next day we went to the zoo. About a month after he died, I got this tattoo.
I better go. I better get that Morris Minor back to its owner. See you tomorrow. Glasgow Rangers. Oh, what would the Dalai Lama do? I'll Google it when I go home.
Jesus, if the boy's in Harcourt Street saw me now. Stuck in a fucking hedge in the arse end of nowhere again. With a poxy pair of binoculars. Some things never change. Butt plug Callahan. She's sent him packing. I'd love to get him in the room. Just the two of us. See how smart he is then. He didn't get the leg over in anyways. God knows what she gets up to in there on her own. Margaret, it's me. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Please, please. Listen a minute. I had to call you. I've been thinking about you all day. How's the kids? Were they asking about me? What did you say? Listen, I'm up the country on a job. It's confidential. But listen, I just have to tie up a few loose ends. I'll be back in town tomorrow night. I can come over. The barring order doesn't count if you don't tell anyone. Don't be like that. I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. Don't hang up. You know I love you. Jesus. Just think about it. I'll call you in the morning. I love you. Remember that, won't you?
Sometimes I'll be that busy with other people's narratives that I neglect my own. My own motor needs attention too. Something's up with the sump.
It's hard to make a living in the middle of nowhere when all that I can do is sing the blues. I'm forever thinking ways of making money, but there's not a lot that I can do.
I saw an advertisement in the Irish Times. You can buy boxes of ladybirds for your garden. That would suggest that somewhere someone is breeding them. A ladybird farmer on a ladybird farm. No one told me at school that that was a career option.
It's too late now to be a ladybird farmer. Oh, it's too late now to be a ladybird farmer.
And then I read about politicians and their expense accounts, and I get mad. Don't get me started on bankers. I get so mad I have to go away and meditate. And it's far from meditation I was reared. Whoa. Grand O'Callaghan, walking home from the market with a parcel of meat under his arm. Crossing the old bridge, he's accosted by a rival who challenges him to a bare-knuckle fist fight. Granda's only delighted to oblige, and they begin boxing in the middle of the road. Thump on thump and blow on blow. Whoa! Then your man's brother comes along and decides to join in. That's two again one again Grand O'Callaghan.
That's not a problem.
Thumps on thumpses and blows on blowses. Granda broke both their noses. Whoa! Then he walks the 8 miles home. First thing he says when he walks in the door is,
"It's a good job the third brother never came along, for if there was three of them, I would have had to put down the parcel and use both hands."
Whoa. I'm not a mechanic, I'm a blues man. Whoa. It's hard to be zen with this blood in my veins. It's hard to be zen when you're bred from mountain men. Whoa. I better get to bed before it's bright. In the morning, Ruby has a shower, puts on her dressing gown, makes some coffee and spelt bread toast, then brings her breakfast out onto the deck, as she often does. She takes off her dressing gown to catch some sun. Then she notices something moving in the hedge, a man with a baseball cap and binoculars.
"Hey!"
she shouts.
"Clear off! I'll call the guards!"
He runs.
Bollocks.
Vintage Day is the biggest day of the year in Tully Glen. I'm standing in the top field watching the tractors coming in. There's a 1957 Newfield and half a dozen Massey Fergusons. Yesterday this field was full of the finest Frisians. That's why today it's like a cowpat minefield. It's a full-time job keeping my brothel creepers clean. I unload 2 crates of bottled river water. I bottled it myself. I made the labels myself. Spark plug swilly water. I unhitch the trailer carrying the Queen of Erin, a rare vintage musical contraption I bought off a fella from Remelton. Guaranteed to draw a crowd. And I need a crowd.
Brothers and sisters, roll up, roll up. I don't need my diploma from the Howlin' Wolf School of Mad Suffering Blues to tell me there's a lot of suffering in this field today. I just need to look around me. Behold your salvation contained within these pretty bottles. Down by the river, beyond the railway line, I went there with my lover. We were drinking turpentine, drinking turpentine, trying to have ourselves a good time. The economy is in decline, and we were thinking it's time to drink turpentine. Well, we went there in the morning, we stayed there till the night. Some creatures came a-crawling out into the moonlight. There were centipedes and spiders suffering from athlete's feet. A donkey with an ingrowing toenail and a weevil with an allergy to wheat. There was a tomcat with a toothache and a bat who was afraid of the dark. Congregating by the river, we were wondering what they were at. They were drinking swilly water. I saw it with my own two eyes. The minute the lips did sip it, their troubles evaporized. So buy yourself a bottle of spark plug swilly water. You'll never ever need a doctor if you buy some spark plugs swilly water. Whoa, 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 whoa. Roll up, only 10 euros a bottle. And for the connoisseur here today, I have something very rare. Something very, very special. A limited edition of one bottle and one bottle only. A bottle of fresh air from the top of Mount Errigal.
I see Ruby coming down the steps of the fortune teller's wagon. She's all smiles. She comes right over, big kiss on the lips, and invites me to dinner. I explain it'll take 15 minutes to hitch up the trailer, but I'll be right behind her. It's hard to leave her, so I walk her as far as the gate. Peggy's sitting in her tractor with a flask of tea, telling Crazy Horse about the steel-wheeled Davy Brown she saw growing rusty in a field in Trento. And she notices a fella interfering with my van. She jumps off the tractor.
What do you think you're at?
What? Me father had one just like this. I'll bring you back, what? I was just having a gander at the workings.
You don't need a spanner to have a gander. Looking to steal parts is what you're at. Clear off before I get the guards.
At the bottom of the hill, Ruby realizes she's left her shopping bag behind in the fortune teller's wagon. I tell her go ahead, I'll collect it and bring it over when I'm coming. I go back up the hill. I climb the steps of the wagon.
Hello, how are you doing? My friend left her shopping here.
I knew you were going to walk in here. I was just about to finish up for the day. And I says, no, wait a minute. There's a man going to walk in that door that needs to know something very important. Sit down. I usually charge 20, but it's not about the money. Give me 10 and I'll read your palm. You play music.
I wonder if Ruby's been talking about me.
A very special woman has just come into your life. She's an artist.
Yeah, Ruby's been talking about me.
A great love will grow between you to last all your days.
Funny how when someone tells you what you want to hear, it's so easy to believe them.
You'll have 7 kids.
Goats or children?
Children? I see here you'll be tempted to draw blood. But never let a fool feel your fury. You're standing at a fork in the road. A wrong choice and happiness will be denied. I see great danger nearby. The cards will give you good advice. That'll be another 10.
You're grand. 7 kids is enough danger for one day.
As I leave her wagon, she shouts after me.
Death is close. Only a fish can save your life.
I hitch up the trailer and I drive to the gate. Wheels are spinning in the mud. Out in the road, I notice there's a car behind me pushing to get past. It's your man in the Passat with a baseball cap. I let him pass. Then he slows down to a snail's pace. It's not easy driving a 10-hundredweight van up a hill with a heavy trailer on behind. He knows that. The road's too bendy to overtake, but when we get to a straight bit, I accelerate. As I pass him, he speeds up. Then he slows down.
Then he speeds up. He's playing. He won't let me back in again, forcing me to stay in the wrong lane. I'm in the wrong lane of a narrow, bendy road with a heavy trailer. Up ahead, a car comes round the corner. I have no option. I accelerate and try to squeeze back onto my own side of the road. I swing in front of him. I ease off the accelerator and ease on the brake to break my speed. But there's nothing there. I squeeze on the brake, but nothing happens. It's as if the cable's been cut. I lose control. I crash through the gate. The tow bar and trailer are torn off behind me. I know this place. The Donkey Sanctuary. I roll down the steep hill. I love this motor. What hurts her hurts me more. I feel every bump like it was breaking bones. There's nothing I wouldn't do to save her pain. It's amazing the instinct inside that insists I swerve to save the life of the baby donkey. What the fuck is that about? I pull hard into the right and head into the trees, go through a hedge and over the edge of the riverbank. I bang my head, I bang my chest. It's hard to breathe. There's some blood. I'm all right. I can feel my legs. I can feel the water flood in around my knees. I try to open the door, but it's stuck. I reach for the handle to roll down the window. It comes off of my hand. The water's in around my waist. I bang on the glass, but the glass is hard in these old vans, and the spanners are in the trailer. I reach inside Ruby's shopping bag in desperation. I pull out a tin can, and I bang with all my might on the glass till it shatters. Climb out into the river, then up onto the bank. Standing soaking, looking at the van. I know, I'm a lucky man. In my hand a tin can. Tuna. I walk up the hill dripping wet. A dozen donkeys follow my progress. And for the briefest fraction of a moment, I consider revenge. But my heart's not in it. My heart's somewhere else. In a world of possibility.
My true love in the moonlight, doing her belly. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la.